You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm joined by Todd Zielecki. And Todd, going into the new year in 2017, just before year's end in 2016, Phillies made a couple interesting moves. We'll start with Clay Buchholz coming aboard the rotation in a trade with the Red Sox. And, you know, the rotation's starting to shape up to be a real strength for this Phillies club, and now they add a, you know, a nice veteran presence there in Buchholz.
Yeah, I think what they're hoping here is kind of what's been their MO the entire offseason. Any veteran they acquire is either on a one-year contract or basically is on a one-year contract. And in the case of Buchholz, he's going to make $13.5 million next year, then become a free agent. So much like Jeremy Hellickson, who's on a one-year $17.2 million contract, I think what they're hoping in both of those cases is both pitch very, very well, and they become very attractive trade pieces before the July 31st trade deadline. And you know, $13.5 million is a lot to pay for somebody like Buchholz, who struggled last season in the rotation, although he did have a pretty decent month of September starting again. But, you know, for them, they have so much payroll flexibility. Quite honestly, they can afford to take this gamble, you know. So they can pay him $13.5 million. He pitches great. They trade him maybe for a decent prospect or something like that. And if he struggles and he doesn't pitch well, they can always eat the money and then call up one of the many prospects that they'll have in AAA and AA ready.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense from that perspective. I don't think the Phillies were, you know, necessarily one of the first teams you thought about when you know, trading for a starting pitcher of this ilk, because it is such a weak market for starting pitching that, you know, Buchholz has value in a lot of places right now, frankly, even though he has been so up and down in his career. But what he's just said makes a ton of sense. A guy that could potentially flip in a few months. And again, anytime you can have hopefully a stabilizing veteran presence in a predominantly young rotation, that's a good thing. So Buchholz he's had an enigmatic career, to say the least.
Yeah.
But he definitely finished strong at a point where it seemed like he was out of the Red Sox rotation for good. They ended up needing him very much down the stretch. So see what the future holds there. And then another prominent move towards the end of the year was Odubel Herrera signing a 5-year, $30.5 million extension. There are two option years on top of that that would bring the total value to $52 million. Not bad for a guy taken 2 years ago in the Rule 5 draft. Tell us about you know, the thought process behind this extension and just the faith in Herrera moving forward.
Yeah, you know, it came down to really the fact that, you know, he's been very productive offensively. He's a 280 to 300-plus hitter, has a little bit of speed, and they think he can get better. And also he's, you know, you look at any of the metrics, he grades out really well defensively in center field. And so the Phillies looked at it like, you know, this is a very club-friendly deal. Even if he doesn't get any better than he is, if this is the best Odubel Herrera will be, his numbers over his last 2 years, they think they're getting a tremendous, tremendous deal in the sense that in 2021, which would have been his first year following free agency, he's only going to make $10 million. So, and he, quite frankly, even if he would somehow take a step back and really struggle, it's not that much of a financial commitment to them that they can't afford to take it. So it gives them some financial stability, some cost certainty going forward. So now when they start hitting the free agent market, they know, okay, we know we have Herrera locked up through potentially the 2023 season. And even in that 2023 season, it's like $12.5 million. So again, very, very affordable when you look at what other outfielders are getting right now. And when you look at, quite frankly, there were some utility players this year that signed for, you know, 2-year, $16 million contracts. And Herrera's average annual value on his deal is $6.1 million. So you look at that and you go, starting center fielder that can hit Gold Glove finalist this year, average annual value $6.1 million, the length of this contract, versus, like I said, some utility players are getting $8 million, $6 million, $6.5 million. And for that reason, I think it's a really good deal for the Phillies, and it becomes ridiculously good deal for the Phillies if you can even improve offensively down the road.
And it feels like a pivot point of a sort. I mean, a year ago, we traded in a controllable player in Ken Giles for prospects, and not to say that, you know, they can't still do stuff of that nature, but you know, starting to identify the players who are the future here, you know, the cornerstone type players. And I don't know if that means other players like, you know, Michael Franco or Nola or Eichhoff or Velasquez are explored with extensions. But, I mean, these are the guys who are kind of going to be the backbone of the next contending Phillies team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. And Herrera is the kind of the first chip to fall there, and you wonder if Michael Franco ends up putting together a nice season. He struggled a little bit last year, although he showed some power. That they're still super high on him. You know, they point out that he's, you know, 24 years old, and that was really his first full big league season. So they expect him to take a step forward next year, and if he does, I would think he could be the next guy. And you mentioned Eichhoff, Velasquez, Nola. All of those guys fit in their plan of young players to build around, and then, you know, supplement them with a veteran, either free agent or a veteran trade piece. But Herrera, yeah, I think he kind of is going to start getting that ball rolling a little bit. And, you know, like I mentioned, cost certainty, I think, for the Phillies is huge. You know, they got him at such a – I really think this is such a club-friendly deal that it almost is – no risk to them. You know, I guess there's a risk in any long-term deal, but for a team like the Phillies, that he is literally their only player signed beyond next season. So they can certainly afford to take the shot on him.
Yeah. We're kind of previewing 2017 here, and it's hard not to start thinking about 2018, frankly,
right.
Because as you said, this has been the modus operandi here has been to really trade for Howie Kendrick and Pat Neshek. They sign Joaquin Benoit, they re-sign Andres Blanco, re-sign Jeremy Hellickson, trade for Buchholz now, and these are all short-term solutions that give them a ton of payroll flexibility, you know, after 2017 and just kind of looking ahead. And, you know, as they infiltrate these young guys into the lineup, I mean, this is a real sleeping giant financially when you think a year ahead from now, and especially after 2018, that monster free agent class that's coming after 2018.
Yeah, you know, the Phillies definitely have their eye on that big free agent market in a couple of years. They're definitely they're going to have a ton of money to spend, and I think they're going to be very motivated to spend it. I think Phillies ownership is going to be very motivated to spend it. I don't think they're going to sit there and make some kind of half-hearted effort to sign somebody like, say, Bryce Harper. I think if Bryce Harper is available and the Phillies have a need, I think they're going to take a really hard run at him. And if it's not him, I think they're going to take really hard runs at any other top-of-the-line free agent. When I talked to Phillies president Andy McPhail in September about maybe attacking the free agent market this offseason, he said, we don't want to just sign a player that can marginally help this team. We want to sign real difference makers. And to me, that meant more of a Harper, a Manny Machado, you know, an ace type of pitcher. If, you know, somebody opts out of their contract, you know, Kershaw can do that in a couple of years. I think Johnny Cueto can do that after this season. You know, he was talking about those types of players and less so a player who is a 20 home run, maybe an 80 RBI guy on a good year. They don't want to spend money on those guys. They want to spend money on the perennial all-star MVP candidate, Cy Young candidate types of guys. And with these moves that they've made this offseason, like we mentioned, they have no financial commitments other than Herrera beyond next season.
Yeah, going to be a fascinating team to watch. And even in 2017, kind of a sneaky good rotation shaping up here. So we'll see what the future holds for the Phillies. Todd Zielecki will be all over it for MLB.com. I want to thank him for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Philadelphia Phillies edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.